Omaha Public Radio, KIOS-FM, presents another luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club. Today's speaker will be Rachel Jacobson, founder and director of the nonprofit independent theater Film Streams, scheduled to open in Omaha later this month. This program was recorded by KIOS-FM on Thursday, June 21, 2007, for broadcast at this time. The opinions expressed are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of the Omaha Press Club, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. Here now to introduce the program is Dale Munson.
Good afternoon, and welcome to our Omaha Press Club Noon Forum. I'm Dale Munson, and a member of the OPC Education Committee, which produces these monthly events. As is our custom, paper and pencils are at each table for you to submit written questions to our guest for the latter part of this hour. So, what does an Omaha native and a 1996 graduate of Central High School with a near lifelong love of film do to promote quality art film presentation in her hometown? Well, following the receipt of a BA with a double major in history and political science from the University of Illinois, followed by several years of seasoning in various New York City arts organizations, she comes back to her roots and forms a nonprofit independent theater complex by the name of Film Streams. This exciting new venue is set to open July 27th at 14th and Webster, right out our window, a few blocks west of the Quest Center, in what is being labeled, and I got to tell you, I hope never to use this term again, no dough. So please welcome our guest, the creator, the founder, and director of Film Streams, Rachel Jacobson.
Thanks, Dale, and thanks so much for having me. I feel so lucky to be here, and just lucky right now, because we are about to open the doors to this two-screen movie theater. And as Dale said, it's right at the corner of 14th and Webster. We like to say north of downtown, or we just say just west of the Quest Center. And we just started to move in this week. And, I was just going to refer to it, but, and the marquee just went up, and I think a lot of you probably are here because you know that movies can do more than just invoke a sensational emotion, make you laugh or make you cry. The best films are truly art, and they enhance our lives by illuminating something about humanity or by saying something about life that we haven't thought of before. And unfortunately, many of the best films that are coming out each year are not making it to Omaha right now. And these are the most artistically innovative films, and our goal is to bring these films to Omaha. So the mission of Film Streams is to enhance the cultural environment of the city through the presentation and discussion of film as the important art form that it is. And in addition to bringing some of the best new films to Omaha out there, the films that, you know, you hear about at the Academy Awards and the documentary and foreign film categories, but didn't hear about because they never made it to Omaha, we're also going to return some of the classic films of the past century to the big screen. And that's a really exciting thing because it's a really important experience to be able to watch a film as it's intended to be seen. I don't think that Alfred Hitchcock, he had a big imagination. I don't think he ever would have imagined people watching his films on their iPods. So, you know, this is the way that he thought that his films were intended to be seen, and this is the way that you can truly engage with them in the best possible way, with an audience experiencing the same thing as the stranger next to you for a couple of hours. And it's just such a beautiful thing. And we are a nonprofit organization, and we are member supported. And that is because we want to focus on bringing the highest quality films rather than the kind of films that can bring in box office. The commercial theaters are in the unfortunate situation of having to depend on bottom line. And as a nonprofit mission-based organization, we're lucky to be able to have the support of the community, of corporations, foundations, individuals. We have a great membership program. Please, if you haven't yet, go online and buy a membership. And that way we can truly focus on the best films rather than having to focus on receipts. And it's just like the opera or the symphony or Jocelyn. We just need the support of the community in order to do it. And like those other organizations, FilmStream is going to be a community organization. We're not going to exist in a bubble. We are going to do partnerships not only with entities like the Omaha Public Library, which we've already done a partnership with, the Bemis Center for Contemporary Arts, but also social service organizations. We'd love to bring Boys and Girls Club into the theater or Girls Inc. and show kids films that they've never seen before. There's also films about everything, so we've got really the potential to enhance just about anyone's mission by showing a film that talks about the issues that whatever the nonprofit represents. And I had this idea when I was a senior in college at University of Illinois, as Dale mentioned. I was taking courses as part of my English major in documentary film history and criticism and French film history and criticism. And I do have a lifelong love of films. I grew up here going to the Dundee and going to Indian Hills. But this is when it really became an obsession. And I truly became a cinephile and really started to think about film as an art form and really started to engage with it in the way that I'm hoping that this organization will help people to do. And so I had this epiphany that, you know, I wanted to somehow enhance the community that I grew up in, that I loved, and also work it to promote film as art. And so the perfect thing to do would be move back eventually and start this movie theater. And first, I had to get a little experience. All I had was college. And so I went out to New York, and I took a month-long course in arts administration at NYU. And that was taught by nonprofit professionals from throughout the city, from different nonprofit arts organizations there. So that's when I learned the whole structure of this mission-based organization and started really thinking about what it meant to, to run a nonprofit organization and what would be involved with that. And then I had to get some work experience. So I started off working at a gallery in Soho, which was a startup nonprofit, and left there to work at Miramax Films. And most of you are probably familiar with them, and that was a real dream job for me at first because Pulp Fiction was one of the first non-linear narrative films that I had ever seen, and Shakespeare in Love, and you know, all these films had that they had produced that were pretty interesting, and they seemed to really have a focus on quality over box office. But it was a really good experience to kind of learn that side of the coin because I mean, it is a commercial entity, and so I sort of saw what their priorities are in distribution. And then I wanted to go back to the nonprofit sector and figured that the hardest part of running this nonprofit organization would be fundraising. And so I started working in development at Theater for a New Audience, which is a tiny little nonprofit organization in the West Village. And they had been going for about 20 years, had a really strong board, and I based a lot of the structure of the business plan for FilmStreams on them. They also had a great education program in the New York City public schools, and part of our initiative is to have an education program for high school students, film history and criticism, and we're hoping to launch that in 2008. We're not sure exactly what the structure of that will be, but we definitely want to be in partnership with public schools, and we want to kind of focus on teaching kids to engage in films in the same way they're learning to engage with literature in their English classes. So after leaving Theater for a New Audience, I went to WNYC, which is the public radio station in New York, and got terrific experience there working in membership, and it's a 100-year-old nonprofit, so really learned a lot about what it takes to build a sustainable organization, and you know, it was a terrific staff that really cared about the mission. Now, while I was in New York, the perception of Omaha slowly shifted, and I think that there was a big watershed moment in 2002 when Cursive was on the cover of the New York Times Arts section. Cursive is a band affiliated with Saddle Creek Records. And there was a whole article about Omaha being the next Seattle, the next Austin, because of the music scene that was going on here. And I knew a lot of these people and was going to shows in New York and was really excited about what was going on here artistically. These people really were finding their own voice in music as well. And I happened to meet Rob Nanzel, who is the head of Saddle Creek Records, when he was on in town for a Cursive show, actually. And we had a 3 a.m. conversation on our way to Bulgarian Disco in Chinatown, where he kind of told me about his idea to build a concert venue in Omaha and how they had had a lot of difficulty finding space for it. And I told him in a parallel conversation about my idea to start this nonprofit movie theater. And the idea sort of started to come together, and I told my dad about the conversation, and he got really excited about the prospect of me coming back to Omaha. I'm sure a lot of you would love for your kids to come back who have left or have kids that have come back, and that's a terrific thing. And so he called a meeting at QTAC Rock, where he's the managing partner with Rob Nanzel and Jason Coble, and we kind of fantasized about the possibility of working together, the great synergy that would be there for an independent movie theater and this independent music concert venue. And, I mean, at first it was really modest ideas. We thought folding chairs, warehouse, you know, like that kind of thing. We can move out the chairs and have shows at night. And but about a year and a half later, Rob Nanzel called me, and in New York City, I was in my basement apartment in the East Village, and he said, you know, we might have an opportunity to build your movie theater. He said, you know, a lot of you probably followed this story where they tried to build the venue on Saddle Creek Road, but the country club residents didn't like the idea of having the concert venue in the residential area. So the city was encouraging them to move to north downtown, and which, you know, was a completely undeveloped neighborhood other than the Quest Center, and, you know, there's a couple of other things, Tip Top and the Hot Shops going on over there. So they liked the idea, but they wanted to make sure that there were that whatever surrounded them were like-minded businesses. And so they decided to not only become record label managers, but also real estate developers. And they created this entire development. And Rob explained this to me and said, you know, we would love to have a movie theater there. So I said yes immediately and started working on the business plan. And QTAC Rock got our 501c3 status together fairly quickly. And it took about 6 months, and in June of 2005, I moved back here to Omaha, and since then, I've been developing the board of directors, and we've got a terrific group together. Kurt Anderson, who I worked with at WNYC, he's the host of Studio 360, and he just got a big job at Random House. He's also a novelist and started Spy Magazine in the 80s with Graydon Carter. He's a really interesting guy and an Omaha native. Ginger O'Neill, who's a great community volunteer, Steve Celine, my dad is chairman, David Jacobson, and then the biggest coup for our board was the Academy Award-winning filmmaker Alexander Payne. And I know you all understand how important it is to have him involved, and I want you all to know that he's not only involved by name, he is really supportive. He's supported us financially. He's one of our most active board members as far as advice and just communicating about the organization, and he's just been really terrific. So when I moved back here, I wanted to start programming as the building was being built. Allie Pointer, who's done all of our work pro bono and has been terrific, and Rob and Jason and I were working on the building, and we knew it would take a while, but we wanted to get our name out there. So Mike Yanni, who's on our advisory board, and was then the chairman of the Joslin Board. And my sister Sarah, who works there, got it together so that we could do a series of films there. And we did several partnerships with different community organizations, with the Bemis Center, like I said before, with the Omaha Public Library, with the Symphony. And we showed The Lady Eve by Preston Sturges. We showed a documentary about an artist. We showed To Kill a Mockingbird with the library. We showed Notorious on the big screen. And it was just a lot of fun. And we had pretty good turnouts and kind of started to get people who kind of got an idea about what we're trying to do. We also did a screening at the Bemis Center of the Louis Buñuel Salvador Dali films, and we had a good turnout for that. And then we also did a concert at Omaha Healing Arts last October, where Arenda Fink, who's an artist on Saddle Creek, played along with these old silent films of Maya Deren, this amazing filmmaker. And that was a really cool event, and that's something that we want to continue to do, have artists play over silent films, have musicians play. So that'll be a lot of fun. And all along, we were in the process of our capital campaign. And to date, we've raised $1.7 million. So that is going to cover the build-out of the theater and the seats and the screens and all the equipment. And so we're in a pretty good place. We do need to continue to fundraise in order to operate. And that started with a naming gift from the Sokoloff Foundation, which is why our theater is called the Ruth Sokoloff Theater. Karen Javich's mother is Ruth Sokoloff, and her grandson, Mark Javich, is on our board of directors. And she was just a terrific person. She was an artist herself, and she taught blind children, and we're just honored to have the theater named after her. We also got a challenge grant from the Peter Kiewit Foundation. The iOS Foundation has supported it. The Holland Foundation, the Sherwood Foundation, First National Bank gave us great commercial support. Omaha Steaks and HDR, among others. We also got, as I said, in-kind support from Allie Pointer. Oxide Design has been our in-house design company, and they did the marquee, and they've done everything all along. And we got a special gift from Fred Simon and Dick Holland, who are huge opera fans. And Fred went and saw these live presentations of the opera that they're doing in movie theaters. It's the Metropolitan Opera beamed in from New York, live in movie theaters, and wanted to make sure that we could do that at Filmstream. So he gave us a gift to have the fancy HD digital projection that you need in order to do that. So it'll really enhance our programming. We'll still have the 35 millimeter for most films, but it's great because a lot of films are starting to be distributed on digital, and it also gives us the opportunity to play these matinees of the opera so we can bring the Metropolitan Opera to Omaha, which I think is really exciting. And so as you can see, the support from the community has just been amazing, and I just feel so fortunate. And now, because of this support, we're almost there, and we're set to open on July 27th. We started moving into the office this week, and we're going to start our programming with first-run films. As I said, we'll do 2 to 3 week runs of first-run documentary, foreign films, and American independence. This one is actually The Lives of Others, which came out back in January. And I know it played for a little while at AMC, but it also played at the Ross and Lincoln. It's sort of an example of the kind of films that we want to show. It's one of the best films I've seen this year. It won the Academy Award for Best Foreign Film, and it's just phenomenal. This guy is a member of the Stasi in East Germany in the 80s, and you actually end up loving him. So it's a really beautiful story. So that's kind of what we're going to focus on one screen. And then the second screen will always be repertory films. And these will be classic films from throughout history, from throughout the world. And when I say classic, I don't just mean that it'll only be before, 1950. There are a lot of films that have been overlooked throughout the last century that from the past even 10 years that we'll play just to expose them to Omaha audiences. And we'll do, we'll have a different theme pretty much monthly with a director retrospective, theme series, you know, and maybe just like a classic that they have a new print of. And our first series is actually being curated by our board member, Alexander Payne. He's choosing his 10 favorite films of all time, and he's going to write program notes and talk about how they've influenced him. And we just couldn't begin better, really. I mean, it's going to be terrific. We haven't announced it yet, exactly what the films are, but we will soon, so be on the lookout for that. And I'm so excited because it lends his seal of approval to these sort of foreign films from the 60s that people might otherwise not go to see, but that I think a lot of people will really love. We also, as I said before, are going to have a lot of community development initiatives. We really want to expose these the widest possible audience to these films and reach out to as wide an audience as we can in the community. So we'll do, you know, Q&As, forums, discussions, lecture series. We'll bring in filmmakers. We'll have local filmmaker screenings about once a month. We might show a film from someone who made something that hasn't been distributed yet and let them do a Q&A after. So that'll be a lot of fun. And then... yeah, and as I said, we also have an education program, and we're launching that in fall of 2008, and that should be really interesting. And then we'll also be available for event rentals. We have a really nice space that we've designed. We have a warming kitchen behind concessions, and the space in the lobby, there's part of it that's two stories, and we can fit about 175 people for a nice cocktail reception, and we'll use that for after film, after special screenings, and for our special events, but we'll also rent it out to the community when we're not doing our programming, so that's exciting. And, yeah, as I said before, our membership program is absolutely essential. We're really going to depend on the support of the community, and so I hope that people will consider giving at whatever level they feel is appropriate. For $50 for an individual membership, you get $4 tickets at the box office instead of $8. You get 20% off concessions. We'll do a quarterly print newsletter that'll go to people. We also have a $35 senior membership, and that also goes for students as well. Students and seniors are at $35. At higher levels of membership, you get other special benefits, and all of those are available on our website, which is filmstreams.org. So that's going to be great. And, you know, in closing, I would just like to say before I go to questions that this is just such an exciting time for this city, and I am really thrilled to be here. The concert venue opened 2 weeks ago, and there's just this energy here in the art community. I mean, it's like nothing I've ever seen, and I couldn't experience that in New York. I always felt like I was at the cultural epicenter there of everything, and that I couldn't leave because I wouldn't be close to what's going on in the art world. But it's just not true, and it's not emulating other cities. It's our own voice that we're creating for Omaha, and so I think it's really terrific, and I'm so excited to be a part of this. I'm in the right place at the right time, so I'm really thrilled about it, and I hope you'll come. We're opening July 27th. Thanks very much.
Rachel, we'll have some questions here for you, and I guess my first question is, from whence does the term or the name Film Streams come? It's a very clever name, but could you describe that, please?
Sure. One of my favorite directors is John Cassavetes. He's an independent director he made films in the 60s and 70s and into the 80s. And he has a film called Love Streams, and it's kind of about the idea that that it can sort of stream through all aspects of life, and I just love that principal. And it also refers to the name of Omaha, which I guess means directly translated something like, and I'm sure a lot of you know the exact one, but it's above all others upon a stream. And so it kind of references this community as well.
Kind of a two-part question. What has been the general reception of commercial theater presentations in Omaha, commercial films, and will you be competing with the Dundee Theater efforts to bring art films to Omaha?
Well, I get that question a lot, and, you know, I really feel like if we accomplish our mission, then the Dundee will do better than it has been doing, because the whole idea is to expose audiences and get people excited about movies. So hopefully more people will go see films at the Dundee because of their experiences at film streams. And also, since they're a commercial theater, there's sort of like this other box office, which is sort of the big indie films, like the Little Miss Sunshines and things like that. And because we're a nonprofit organization, we can sort of prioritize choosing the films that aren't playing at AMC or at the Dundee and that may not get the big box office. So I'm happy to get the little Iranian film or the little Indian film over the Little Miss Sunshine. So so hopefully the Dundee will do even better.
What other advantages are there to you to being a nonprofit, the nonprofit status?
Well, as you know, when you make a contribution, it's tax deductible, and so that's a huge thing. Actually, in Nebraska, you don't get a break from sales tax. In other states, you do. But some other advantages: we get to apply for grants and get the support of the community. It also puts us in this place where we become kind of this, we're more in line with Opera Omaha than, you know, AMC in a way, because we're kind of about celebrating film as an art form rather than just making money and existing for entertainment. So
it says here there was an attempt to do an art theater at the South Roads and it didn't work out. How is your effort different from that?
That was actually Alan and Marcia Bear that did that, and our box office is being named in honor of them. They were terrific supporters of the arts in Omaha. And unfortunately, South Roads, I think it's all about location. I mean, we're really close to the Dundee, and we're really close to the Holland Center. We're really close to everything that's going on in the art world of the community, and with all these condos going in and hotels, and I mean, this is where all the traffic is and our audience is. So I think that that's our primary advantage.
Somebody would like to know what films are on your top three list.
That is a really, really, really hard question for me. I love Badlands, which is a regional film. Terrence Malick is an amazing director. It's unfortunate that he's only made three films. I love Stanley Kubrick's Lolita. I love Jean-Luc Godard's Band of Outsiders. I could name 30 of these that I'm just as passionate about, so that's a hard question, but I just named three that I love. So,
do you foresee Omaha becoming a filmmaking center, fellowships for film producers and that sort of thing? Do you think that's a possibility?
We're not prioritizing production right now. I think one important thing when you start a nonprofit is to stay focused on exactly how you're going to go about things, and it's sort of enough to build a place for film exhibition, and that's going to be the way that we support smaller filmmakers. I'm not going to say never, but right now we have no plans to go into any kind of production or even executive producing, so...
Tell us more about audience full of, what is this? Stages? Strages? Can you read this?
An audience full of strangers. Who are they, and why are they coming? What do they get out of this experience?
There you go.
Well, that's an interesting question, and I really hope that they're coming for all different reasons and that it's a really diverse audience. I've found since I've been here that the people that are interested in this are either some of them are people that go to larger cities all the time and see these films or rent them on Netflix and read about them and know that they exist and are missing, you know, the fact they drive to the Ross to see films in Lincoln and they're missing the fact that we don't have these films here. That is our core audience, but I really want to reach out to a wider audience than that. And I think that our community development initiatives, our education program, and just sort of the fact that we've been kind of loud about this whole thing will help to get a lot of people in the door that may not have ever seen an Italian neorealist film from the 60s or may have never seen a film with subtitles. I mean, we're hoping to reach out to the widest possible audience, and there is a core audience here, so hopefully they'll help us to do that as well.
So. I saw some of the films that you showed at Joslyn. They were great. Can you tell us the names of those films?
You recall? Oh, wow, that's tough. Okay. We had The Lady Eve was the first one, Preston Sturges from the 40s with Barbara Stanwyck and Omaha native Henry Fonda. And it's an amazing comedy. We have Buena Vista Social Club, a documentary about Cuban musicians. That's phenomenal. To Kill a Mockingbird, Notorious, the Hitchcock one, as I mentioned before. There's a film called In the Realms of the Unreal that was a documentary about the outsider artist, Henry Darger. There was a film called Sozi that was actually the Academy Award winner for Best Foreign Film that year. It was a South African film that was really beautiful. The Passenger, which is an Antonioni film from the 70s with Jack Nicholson. Rashomon, Casey's helping me here. Casey's my communications coordinator. He's been working with us for the past year and a couple months. He's been amazing. Rashomon's Akira Kurosawa, Japanese film from the 60s. Down by Law, which is an American independent by Jim Jarmusch, one of our American director treasures. Amazing film from the 80s. Oh, and The Magic Flute, which we did in partnership with Omaha Performing Arts because they were doing the ballet of The Magic Flute. So we showed Ingmar Bergman's version of the opera, his film version of it. So it was really interesting because we had a lot of the leaders of different arts organizations there, and we kind of talked about the different mediums and how they can work together. It was great.
As we understand it, it's a two-screen operation. Mm-hmm. Can you describe physically? Are they the same size? What's it like? Will films be currently shown in both of them, or will be one theater or the other?
Sure. Well, there's two screens. The larger one is 206 seats, and the smaller one is 96 seats. And the larger one is kind of going to be the one that's devoted to the first-run films. If we're showing, like, a Gone with the Wind or something like that that's going to be really popular, we can always switch it to the bigger screen. We actually have reel-to-reel 35-millimeter projection in both theaters, so that allows us to show the older prints or the newer ones. And we also have the digital cinema in both theaters. So we'll have the flexibility to move from one to the other, but typically the larger theater will be devoted to the newer stuff and the smaller one will be the repertory series. They're back to back, and the lobby space, as I said before, is really nice and big and comfortable, and our offices are on the second floor, and we have a conference room where you can see downtown. It's right on the corner here with the windows, so it's really nice.
Again, having to do with the physical setup, this person is concerned about the sound separation from your neighbors and their concert venue.
Mm-hmm. That's That's a good question. We actually have Saddle Creek's warehouse separating us, where they keep all their T-shirts and CDs and everything. And we're working with a cinema contractor who pretty much he worked with Danny Laidley at the Ross, and he has a lot of experience. And we're going to have Dolby Digital sound, and the walls will be soundproof professionally with everything that's necessary for that kind of thing. So I think we're going to be all right with the concert venue there. Also, shows go on at sort of different times than the movies. But
what about parking now when folks come to film streams? Will they be utilizing the Quest Center parking, or is there other adjacent parking?
Yeah, there's actually parking all around. There's metered parking all around the block. And then behind the venue and the theater, there's a whole free parking lot that's specifically for the development. I should mention that also in the development, Blue Line Coffee is going in, and that should be later this summer. Urban Outfitters is going in this fall, and there's also apartments in the South Building, so there's a lot going on there. And then we actually have a deal with the Quest Center where we can use their furthest lot for free. You don't have to pay the $6 on nights that they don't need it. And that's the one that's directly across the street from us. So that's a great thing. So we really do have plenty of parking. Unless the Quest Center is full, there's a sold-out show going on and sold-out films in both theaters. Those few nights might be when it's difficult, but... there's also handicap parking right on the corner there.
Rachel, in your opening comments, several names of some pretty heavy hitters were dropped by you, and I'm sure they were very helpful. But can you talk a little bit about the early stages of your financial plans and how you went about raising the first $5,000 or so?
Sure. Oh, wow. Well... as I said, development, I figured, was the part that I was most scared of in this project because it's not easy to ask for money. I don't think anyone likes to do it. But having had a background in it and working in public radio, I really learned a lot of the best practices for going about that kind of thing. And the board played obviously a huge role in that, but then also just sort of everything has just fallen into place in this amazing way. I think it's been a lot of luck and timing. The fact that the Holland Center had just been built and all this money had just been raised for the arts meant that business leaders and the people who have money to give away had been educated about the importance of cultural entities in the community. And so they were sort of primed for this kind of thing and, the importance of cultural diversity in a city and for its urban development. So it's not like I had an easy time with it, and I've certainly had a few no's. But I think that this is something that, and like I said, there's this core audience that gets what we're doing in the sense that they're really missing this kind of thing. And a lot of those were the early donors. But then there's people like, Lynn Ziegenbaum from the Kiewit Foundation joined our advisory board last year, and they gave us a challenge grant, which lent us a ton of legitimacy. First National Bank was an early donor. I mean, having those people on board and having the naming gift made it real for people, I think. And then we could go to the corporate leaders who weren't necessarily as interested in film as art, but maybe understand the importance of something like this, in order to attract youth and reverse the brain drain, as everyone says. So I think it's mostly been great timing that's led to our success in fundraising. So
by this, we can assume that no thought was given to putting up a commercial venture. Is that correct?
Well, Rob and Jason, the heads of Saddle Creek, and my dad at first had some questions about, whether it might be good to make this commercial. I always have felt that it's really important that it be a mission-based organization. If it was a commercial theater, I don't know if I'd be the appropriate person to run it. It's just my priorities for this are really about exposing people to film and making and generating interest in the kinds of films that I love and sort of sharing that love with the community that I love. So, if it was a commercial venture, maybe it would be successful, but I don't think I should have been a part of it if it was. So.
While we're talking money, what kind of an operating budget will you start out with and what will you have?
We've projected about $800,000 a year, and about 50% of that will be from memberships, from corporate sponsorships, from foundations, and then the other 50% will be box office and concession income. So the distributors take a large percentage of the box office, especially for the newer films. So it's pretty expensive to show these, but $800,000 is fairly modest compared to a lot of the other arts organizations around town. So we'll see how that goes. We have a 3-person full-time staff, and then the rest is box office and concessions, and we have union projectionists as well. So,
can you compete with the other theaters in town for the best Indian foreign films? And do the small films have enough prints to send one to Omaha? Interesting thought.
No, that is an interesting thought, and yeah, we've been thinking a lot about this. I'm actually working with a booker who's based in Amherst, Massachusetts, who has several independent theaters throughout the country, so we have a little bit more pull with the distributors, and she also has a long history with film distribution and with the independent movie theaters. I've developed relationships partly from living in New York with a few different people in different distribution entities. I know that the head of marketing at Miramax, who's from Omaha, is pretty interested in what we're doing and excited about it. The thing is with the smaller films is that when they play at the multiplex, they kind of get buried. And the Dundee, I hope that they amp up their facility because as a result of this healthy competition, because I know that a lot of people I'm not going to go there. Sorry. Gosh, excuse me. But I think that we have a core audience and we're building up a specific audience, and people know that when they come to see films at Film Streams, they know what they're going to get. And so so that helps the distributors, and the smaller distributors that I have a relationship with are really excited about it. So I think the answer is we can more than compete, yeah. I think we'll do well.
So will you have a concession stand, and will it have smelly but really good and messy popcorn?
Yeah, the lobby is going to smell like popcorn, absolutely. We're going to have popcorn, candy. We're also going to have Blue Line coffee at concessions and some ice cream treats and possibly some fudge to go along with that. So we'll kind of have the two different things. You can do the traditional pop and popcorn and candy, or you can go the coffee and sweets route.
So do you get a break at all from distributors because you are nonprofit? Is there a break there financially?
Not from distributors at all. But as I said, the smaller distributors that I developed a relationship with are being really nice to us. And though we might not get a break, we might actually see the films a little bit earlier than Omaha typically does because they're excited. So that's good.
What are your planned hours of operation? Will you have matinees or just evenings, and will it be 7 days a week? What's the plan?
Yeah, good question. I'm so glad you're asking all the questions that I've forgotten to mention. 7 days a week, Monday through Friday, 5, 7, and 9 showings, depending on the running time, and Saturday and Sunday all day. So we'll be a fully operating movie theater.
Other than Alexander Payne, who are some local directors and film artists? Can you talk about the local film people a little bit?
I was a judge on the Omaha Film Festival, the documentary part of that, for a little while. And so I got familiar with some of the local production companies that are here. And, you know, Dana Altman is running a production company here, and so is Mark Hager, and they've made some films. My friend Duncan Joyner has made a full-length. I get a lot of... Lori Richards, who's the head of the Film Commission in Lincoln, just made a film, and that's supposed to be really great. I haven't seen it yet, I'm embarrassed to say, but I'm excited to see it. And so... I do get a lot of local filmmakers contacting me, and we're excited to work with them to show their films. So,
did you feel the need or any need to have lower ticket prices because you're a nonprofit?
Certainly not because we're nonprofit. Maybe because we want to make it more accessible. And having the membership incentive, I think, is important. And that really creates a community, which is essential for us. The $8 isn't that much lower than the $8.75 at AMC. The $6 student and senior prices, I think, are comparable to a lot of different places. The really low price is obviously the $4 membership. And that's more about giving people incentive to buy a membership and come see more films. So...
Let's talk a little bit about your neighbors or potential neighbors. What would be your thought if indeed a ballpark is built very close to you?
Ooh. We were just discussing this before I started talking, and I think it would be nice. I think it would be okay for the development of the neighborhood. What I'm more interested in seeing, though, is really retail and apartments and restaurants and more privately owned businesses. I want the entrepreneurial people in Omaha to step up and write their business plans and get going on stuff. And I think that's what will make it like a really vibrant cultural area. I want to see some more commercial galleries. That's what I'm really excited about in that area.
Did you tell us what your first showing will be, or is that to be announced later? Is that correct? Can you prime us a little bit, you know, tease us a little bit?
Well, Alexander has phenomenal taste in movies, I'll tell you that. He is a true cinephile. Not every director loves film as much as he does, and he is really passionate about it. And when you see the films that he's chosen, whether you've heard of them or not, I can promise you there's something fantastic about them. So it's exciting.
Okay, good. This then brings to a close our Omaha Press Club forum for today, and a very sincere thank you to the founder director of Omaha's new quality film complex, FilmStreams, Rachel Jacobson. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really a pleasure to be here. I appreciate it.
Thanks to our Press Club attendees today and to Bob Cote of KIOS for recording today's event. For today, thank you so much. We are adjourned.
You've been listening to a luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club. Today's speaker was Rachel Jacobson, the founder and director of the nonprofit independent theater FilmStreams. This program was recorded by KIOS-FM on Thursday, June 21st, 2007, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. The Omaha Press Club holds these noontime educational forums each month. The next forum will be held on Thursday, August 23rd at 12 noon. At that time, making a return appearance at the Omaha Press Club, the guest speaker will be Steve Fisher, author of When the Mob Ran Vegas. He'll talk about his latest book, Showgirl Stories. If you'd like to attend this or other future programs in the series, call the Omaha Press Club at 345-8008. These events are open to both members and non-members of the Omaha Press Club. The Omaha Press Club is located on the 22nd floor of the First National Center, 16th and Dodge, in downtown Omaha. Complete Noon Forum listings are available on the Internet. Visit our website at kios.org. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.